Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, hello, everyone. Here is Wolverine again, filling in for Professor Gary Lee. We have a great show planned for you tonight. But before we get into that, we'd like to talk to our sponsor, Mr. Jesse Bowen, and see what he's got coming up and if he's got some information for us. Mr. Bowen, you there, sir?
Hey, sir. How are you doing?
Doing great, sir. How are you?
Hey, better and better. You know, we do have a lot of really great positive things going on. And, you know, I really did enjoy your show last week when you were, you know, supporting those things of, you know, that we keep moving, you know, positive things in front of all the negative things that we may be, you know, confronted with in our daily lives.
Right.
And all this kind of stuff. But, you know, constantly moving positive things. Really, the radio show is about making a difference. And this is the power of the blog radio, and the more people that share and invite people to come in and start listening to our broadcast, the better it actually becomes. We're also looking for individuals that would like to host their own show, and we're starting training them to be able to do that. You know, and Dan, you know, you've done a really great job since, 3 months ago, 2 months, 3 months ago, you took over for Professor Gary Lee, and, you know, I can see the change in your voice. I can hear the confidence in your voice. But this is the power of actually having to get out in front of and listen to yourself and building the confidence to stand out in a group. You know, we're not physically standing in a group, but we are aware that our voice, you know, our radio personality, this is sort of what you become. And this is a powerful tool in your community. And we want to support martial artists that are looking to empower themselves in their community. We have our new press release marketing program that you receive a certificate of completion. We'll get ready to launch a complete training program, A to Z, on blog radio. And then we're going to do a special bonus that people can really learn how to come in and actually become a public speaker. How do you become a public speaker? I mean, when you're looking at, you know, making, you know, several thousand dollars of coming in for 20 or 30 minutes, then, you know, you really want to capitalize on that. And that's a part of your personal branding. If you're a martial arts school owner, that's another plus side to, you know, building you, especially as that celebrity in the community. Because through the blog radio shows, you know, you can target directly your market and your community by, you know, using social media. Our blog shows are up on iTunes. But we can target that message directly to the people that you want to target. If it's to grow your school and get more students in, we can target by reaching out and doing a blog radio series on bullying. So there's so many things that we can do through the blog radio show to help you to build your personal brand and to build a brand of your martial arts school or martial arts program. We have coming up on tomorrow, we have Daryl Sims, who's going to be our guest, and Daryl is going to be talking about the martial arts, you know, what he's got out of the martial arts. He's a tournament promoter up in Chicago. So we're going to talk about sport karate, the growth, and some of the things that we're trying to do to support him in growing. Then at 1 o'clock, we have a special interview with Dana Abbott, and we're going to be talking about coaching. How do you start a coaching program in your martial arts school? How do you, you know, what is a coach? You know, what, and again, I am a life success coach, mindfulness coach, sports performance coach. So, you know, how do you get to be all these things? And when you become these certifications, who are you going to be marketing to? Who are the people that's going to want your services? So we're going to be covering that on tomorrow. So that's going to be at 1 o'clock. That's going to be a Zoom conference. You can go to our Facebook page for the radio show, and you can find more information on that. But we do have a lot of things coming up, and again, they're all meant to be positive, motivational things, and helping our martial arts inductees and anyone that's looking to grow themselves mentally, physically, you know, emotionally, and become a value to the community. All right, sir, that is it for me tonight, and we got guests still coming on. So that's it's all
yes,
back.
And he just messaged me, so he should be calling in there here in just a second. Because he just sent me a message, so he should be coming on. And I will go ahead waiting on him. That sounds good, Mr. Bowen, and you're right. So hopefully we can just continue to grow and push forward and keep the positivity flowing. I know that, you know, I'm doing some things also. And now that you mention it, I have two guest appearances, I guess you would. I've got to make guest speaking, you know, because doing the Kicking It with the Wolverine and doing the video blog and trying to keep people hyped up and, you know, not only having diabetes, but you know, being a, you know, I hate to say I'm not bragging on myself, but one of the top competitors in the senior division right now and staying in good shape, you know, it helps people, you know, we're doing a lot of positive stuff trying to get people motivated. So even with that, we're going to be doing a workout with the Wolverine on Wednesdays. It'll be an hour-long video blog, and we'll be doing workouts, you know, where people can follow along and help them out with that. Too. So you're right. The power of being able to do the radio show and those things is really important. But I appreciate you and Professor Gary Lee having the confidence in me to let me come on here and fill in for Professor Gary Lee. So I really appreciate that. And we want to keep pushing people towards the book and getting people signing up and listening to the show. But I want to go over what Professor Gary Lee has coming up. The Sport Karate Museum has the Living Legends Roast of Professor Gary Lee coming up September 27th and 28th at the Hilton Galleria Convention Center in beautiful Houston, Texas. This is an event like no other. When the term legends, Professor Gary Lee coined that term and got that. And how he done that was because he goes out to protect the history, like he says, one warrior at a time. And like me and Mr. Dennis Brown was talking about, he was doing it before it was popular. And you know, he's the keeper of the flame. So now we're going to turn around and roast him and give him a good roasting. Not only at his roast are we going to be roasting him, but there will be kata wars. Now, in kata wars, you have to have won at least 100 first place to be invited. It's a professional division. And if you are interested in competing in that, you'll be competing in that pro division, invitation only. And you will, at the same time, going on will be the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Challenge. Now, that's if you do Shotokan, Shotoru, Kyokushin, Wataru, Gojuru, Shoinru, Ishinru. If you do any of those, you will compete in your collective style. They will narrow that down to a champion in each one. They will take all those first place winners, compete them down to get one first place winner in the open hand. Then they will do the kabuto, where it's the weapon guys. If you do bow, tampa, you know, eskrima, kama, you know, size, sword, whatever you do, you'll be doing that in the traditional division. Then they will get that one person, and they will put those two people will move on to compete against the four people that are picked from the open challenge that will go against the number one and number two seed. And then we'll just see how it goes from there. I just know that the guys that are in the number one and two seed, they work pretty hard and they plan on staying in there. So, you know, it's a very emotional thing. It's a very stressful event because, you know, it's very overwhelming because of all the level of talent that is there. But again, that'll be in Houston, Texas. Not only that, they will be doing the Ohana Open. Okay. The Ohana Open will be going on, and there will be all kinds of martial arts and things going on there. So you'll be able to do traditional martial arts, weapons, forms, sparring, all that stuff in the Hana Open. And you can call Miss Pagels at area code 281-221-2145 and get tickets and information of that. Again, that number is area code 281-221-2145 and talk to Miss Pagels about the Ohana Open and get your info on that and get your karate school in there. Not only that, at the same time will be going on will be Miss Pagels' women's symposium that will be going on, and Miss Robin will be holding her professional maximizers event, and there will be seminars. Yeah, the Wolverine will be there. I'll be doing a self-defense seminar on the last defense, on tactical self-defense. So a lot of people do self-defense. It's technical, but you need to be tactical. Things need to be quick to the point and work fast with not a lot of tricky movement. So that'll be going on. Then Professor has went off the deep end. He's turned around having a big double Hawaiian whammy, and he will be doing the roast of John the Giant Killer Natividad, and that'll be at the Sam's Tower Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, and it'll be the same things going on there with the exception of Cotter Wars. There won't be Cotter Wars there, but there will be several seminars going on. I've been asked to do a performance. I know that there's other people that will be doing a performance, and we will get that. And people will be doing that, and we'll so you'll have all that to see. And if you want information on getting into either one of those, let me give you the number right here, and then we will get ready to bring on our guest because he is on. Let's see, we will – sorry, I lost the number here for a second. You can call area code 713-483-0476. That is, again, area code 713-483-0476. Talk to Professor Gary Lee or his lovely wife, Tammy. They will take care of you, and you can get tickets to one or both of those events. I would suggest doing both of them because there's a lot of legends there and a lot of awesome stuff that will be going on. You can also go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com, and you can get tickets there and either way. So call in, get those tickets. You don't want to miss that. There's going to be a lot of people there. We're going to be giving out the Joe Louis Double Fighting Image Award and all kinds of good stuff. So it's going to be a fun time and a great weekend. We'll give those numbers out again at the end of the show. Okay, at this time, I would like to bring on our special guest. This dude, he has done all kinds of stuff. He's been on TV. He's been in movies. He's a martial arts world champion. He actually trained under Mr. Brown that we had on last weekend. And he's a friend of mine, and he's got a new venture coming on. So we want to talk to him about his history, and he want to talk to him about his new events and things that he's got coming up. Mr. Willie Bam Bam Johnson, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All righty, man. How you doing? Sorry about that. I think I hit the wrong digit when I texted you the number the first time. That's what I get for multitasking.
That's okay. That's all right.
So yeah, you've been working hard today, I'm sure?
Yeah, I just got finished teaching class. So that's what we do, camp, class, family, all that good stuff. So you got my attention now before I zone out.
Yep, I know what you mean. I just got done getting my training in today, and then got done teaching class. I had we had the competition at your teacher's event, and you know they did the sanda and then the box kick throw, which was like around the kick, around the boxing, around the kickboxing, and then around the kickboxing, which is like sanshao, which we do. So we did good, but the Joe Louis combos come in handy. The guy that was running, he said, with this headgear and these 12-ounce gloves, there won't be any knockouts. Well, my guy knocked out five people right off of the bat, first five divisions up, and then the next three was referee stoppage. They just stopped it. So we had a great event, a great time. So he's a Sanda champion, so he'll go back and compete on ESPN next year. So we had a good time doing that. But we're looking forward to getting into some of the events that you're doing. But before we do that, I want the people, because there may be some people, I mean, a lot of people know who you are because you've done a lot of stuff. So I'm sure the majority of our listeners know who you are. And if they don't, then they need to know who you are because you've got an incredible background, incredible lineage, and you've done a lot of amazing things that people need to know about. So if you could just go back and just tell us when you got started in MMA or martial arts, and you know who you started under, that kind of thing, and then we'll just run it right up into your competition years, and then movie and television career, and then into your new venture. If that'll work for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
All righty, sir.
I don't like to talk about. I kind of like find it hard to talk about a lot of that stuff that I've been through, but I mean, I started when I was 6, and that was like most people probably with the motivation of just Bruce Lee, just seeing that film, and because of a lot of stuff that I was going through in my own neighborhood, in my own home, that we see a lot of our kids struggling with at that time, that Bruce Lee movie kind of like was like a scapegoat for me. It was, you know, something that, you know, back then in the early 70s, you came out the movie theater throwing kicks and punches, you know, making your own little noon chuckles, flipping off the pissy mattresses and all that stuff. You know, just trying to emulate all those kung fu movies. And, you know, after doing that, I started getting real good and started working with guys that was in the local community that was helping me refine my skills, along with, you know, just trying to find a way to use what I was making up, you know, to stop the bullying and all the things that was happening to me. I got, you know, I got with some other instructors, one by the name of Jody. He was a neighborhood karate instructor. That refined my skills. And then I ended up meeting up with a guy by the name of Kenneth Parker at a community center I still work at and work with called McKim's Community Center. And that was when I was probably around like 7 or 8 years old, and he started me off in Kangdaquan yoga. We used to do gymnastics and go around the city doing demonstrations at that. And also, they were like still one of the top wrestling schools in the state of Maryland. And at that time, if anybody know of Muggsy Bogues, he's like the shortest NBA basketball player in history.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was like my neighbor, so he was wrestling while I was doing martial arts, and another guy by the name of David Wingate, and all those guys who at one time were like top NBA stars that during their era, we all used to hang out at that center. And the center, you know, it really helped all of us. It kept us out of trouble. I got a chance to refine my martial arts skills. My instructor, you know, he was really committed to helping me really grow. Really learn how to express myself and take my creative ability and go forward. At the same time, I was making up it's in my book. I was making up my own martial art weapons, my own little homemade dojo. And then I ended up getting caught up with one of my instructors' brother. So Master Brown's instructor name is Willie Lynn. But in Baltimore, his brother's name is Tony Lynn. So before I started working with Master Brown, I was a student of Tony Lynn in Baltimore City. That's what really blossomed me into the Kung Fu manner. But at that time, like all of us, Karate Illustrated and Black Belt Magazine and the movies were like the highlight for all of us. So I used to always tear out the pictures of Cynthia Rothrock, Billy Blanks, steal the magazines, just hoping one day that I would like be able to become a martial arts star. And in the back of the magazine, they always had the listing of the top tournaments and all this stuff. So I was, many people probably thought, say I'm crazy, but I used to make up these letters and send them out to Hong Kong and China and send them out to sponsors. And it was crazy that I was able to get sponsorship at that time when I was like 13 years old. By a company called Broadway Paint. It was like the richest McDonald's association at that time. And a guy came on board along with McKim's Community Center, and they started sponsoring me to go to tournaments. And because I wanted to be a champion so bad, and my instructor was believing in me at that time, that's how I met Master Brown, from seeing him in a magazine. I would get on buses and go to like Tacoma, Washington, Seattle, Washington, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my first tournament that I ever competed in was Condi's. That was like a big tournament in Maryland. And at my first tournament, I had won 2nd in fighting, 3rd in kata. And that's where I met Master Brown at. And I had asked him, you know, if he would teach me, because once again, I wanted to really excel my skills. And I know that him and Osa Cassell were the best. They were like the leaders when it came to Kung Fu at that time, especially I mean, Oscar Cassell was like the, I mean, he was in every magazine, Madison Square Garden, everything. And then, you know, he accepted me as a student. And my first tournament after, you know, getting that exception was Madison Square Garden. If anybody remember, SMU chose All-American Championship. That was like a major tournament at Madison Square Garden. And I won first place at that tournament, met my hero Ron Van Cleef. And after that, the rest was history, man. I just started, I would get on buses and go to, my first tournament was Diamond Nationals. I think I was like 18 and I won eighth place. And that's when Kevin Thompson got started. And I remember seeing Keith Itabashi, and he was like, I think that's when the first time I seen somebody got 10s. AKA Grand Nationals. I would just catch the, and Peter Morales, and all those guys really contributed to me getting my career started, along with working with Master Brown, Oscar Cassell. And I think when it really took off was when Master Brown gave me an opportunity to go to mainland China. And at that time, the sponsor had stopped sponsoring me, and he said, and I was so young, I didn't understand, and he said, what I'm going to do is give you a building rather than sponsor you to go to karate tournaments. And I was mad because he stopped sponsoring me. I didn't understand it. Give me a karate school. Who was bigger than sponsorship? you know, I was really pissed off there to tell Master Brown, I said, hold up, man, no. We're going to open that school up, and that's how I got my first karate school at 17. It was called Dennis Brown Shaolin Wushu Academy in Baltimore. And I was fortunate at that age to be training and learning by the great businessman called Nick Coke Keenis. I mean, I was the youngest kid going to business meetings with Steve LaValle. I mean, all the great Steve Oliver, Keith Hassner. I mean, you just name all those guys that were the pioneer of martial art business. Master Brown, you know, allowed me to be able to learn how to properly run a business at the young age of 17. And, you know, he had made me a bet. He said, if you can get X amount of students, I'll give you an all-expense-paid trip to China. And that was it, man. He took me to China. I got recognized as being one of the best Americans to ever train in mainland China. I mean, I had made up my form, made up my kata, because I come from the project, so I didn't ever think I'd ever get back to China again. And at the same time, when I came home, I needed to win that championship. Mom on welfare, you seeing drugs, you seeing all this crazy stuff. So Master Brown, remember, I sat there and I made up my form, I made up my weapon, and I got them to refine it. And because I was doing so good with my forms and weapons, they had asked me to fight with their lightweight champion of Sandow. And I guess that was the emerging of Point MMA, because I was sparring with him and was getting the best of him. And Master Brown told me that I needed to chill out because they weren't going to teach us. And after that, man, I was just learning and training with so many. That experience that I had in China, just, it was like a lifesaver, man. It just changed my whole life. And when I came back home, my first tournament was Everhart's tournament. And I won, I beat Charlie Lee. And that was it, man. That was it. I just started winning everything, you know, doing everything. And, you know, I guess you could say the rest is where I'm at now, along with some pitfalls of trying to get there. But, I mean, that's kind of like how I got started.
Right. Well, you did some TV things too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did some yeah, I did movies and TV stuff. It was on WMAC Masters when I was like the number one in the sports karate. I had made history by being the first Kung Fu Wushu stylist to become a nationally rated Triple Crown champion. I was rated in fighting forms and weapons. And at that time, I was also number one on NASCAR. I was number one in forms and weapons. And they were going around doing a search for the top martial artists to be in this TV show with Bruce Lee's daughter called WMAC Masters. And like I said, as a kid, always knew what I wanted to do. I had already knew what I wanted to play. And that Shaw Brothers era, just wanted to be one of those kung fu guys with the long ponytails. I had already had that written out. So when I got the call to come in, and to give them a description of who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do, I already knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be myself, and I wanted my name to be the BAM. I always knew I wanted the ponytail and all that stuff. That was like my own creation. And after a bunch of negotiation back and forth, they ended up selling in and let me become myself. So I got a chance to play the BAM on the hit TV show, WMAC Masters. And it's funny because the sports karate world called it one of the greatest shows of all time because they had every martial artist champion signed for that. Hakeem Austin, Christine Bannon, Kevin Thompson. And I got a chance to be trained by Pat Johnson, Isaac Florentine. I mean, it was, I don't think you ever experienced anything like that. I mean, you're talking about egoless. There was no egos on that set. We all worked with each other. We all made each other the best. But I don't think we even understood that we were making history and how big it was because we were just so much into having fun. And just the joy of taking your talent and being able to be seen on TV. And for me, you know, because of all the things I had been through, you know, and the pitfalls I had went through, for me to be able to go back to the city of Baltimore and the projects and the kids to be able to say, oh, man, we see you on TV. I mean, that was like a great accomplishment, the dream of wanting to be like Bruce Lee. And then one day you get a chance for that dream to come true and you working with Bruce Lee's daughter on the greatest TV show of all times from sports karate. I mean, I don't know, man. I just wish my mom could have got a chance to see that, but. You know, hey, and my son got a chance to be on the show with me as well. So you're talking about an incredible accomplishment. You know, that was by the strength of God that even happened, man. So I'm forever grateful. And I tell anybody, I don't care how low you are, where you come from, if you hold on to your dreams and fight for them, I don't care how low you are, I don't care what you've been through, those dreams do manifest if you're willing to make a commitment and sacrifice to achieve them.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people don't realize. You know, if they – dreams, man, people get so, like you're saying, people get so sidetracked and stop going after their dreams. They don't realize, and I try to tell my students this every day, if you make 1% progress every day, you've made 365% worth of progress at the end of the year. So, you know, I try to tell them to slow progress is progress. They just have to keep chipping away. And not to be letting people discourage them from their dreams. And it's crazy how many people actually try to discourage people from, you know, their dreams, you know. And it's crazy because they should be pushing them, you know, forward to do their dreams. And that Triple Crown you was talking about, I didn't know what that was, but I've won that for the NASCA. I didn't realize it. They was like, hey, you just won the Triple Crown. But I didn't even know what that was because – I'd always been a fighter, and in the fighting division, they didn't have a Triple Crown and, you know, full contact. So I was pretty excited to win that. That's a pretty big deal. So I'm glad of that. But yeah, you won it way before I did. But I just got that. But that's a pretty big achievement because you got to do a lot of winning to get that in NASCA, and it ain't easy in NASCA to get that.
I think that's the beautiful thing because I was competing when it was Karate Illustrated and. Then it went to PKL, and then it became NASCA. And I think, you know, even when you say about the, you know, you hold on to your dreams, I tell students that too. I mean, I used to compete around. I would be on the bus for 3 days just to go to a tournament to get eighth place at the Diamond Nationals or the AKA Grand Nationals. And with growing up, you know, because I grew up in the city of Baltimore, it's recognized as the most violent city right now in the country. And I didn't see some things that most people can't come back from. I had seen it. I had experienced it. And even after going to China, you know, because my dream was really to use martial arts to get my mom out the ghetto and get my mom to be able to have a house and see a great life. And the problem was that martial arts wasn't really providing that. So when I made some choices and ended up going to jail, and I always share this, I ended up going to jail in a maximum security prison locked down for 23 hours, let out for 1 hour. What I did, I got a chance to take care of myself. I got a chance to learn how to love me. I got a chance to really, I said to myself when I got locked up and had a choice, I felt like I was about ready to kill myself. And all of a sudden, something just came to me, and I dropped down on my hands and my knees, and I said, God, and I still got the letter on the newsletter. I said, God, if you give me another chance to go out and do your work, and if martial arts come to me, I will never abandon you. And that was over 31 years ago. And when I was in prison, everything that I do today, from my business to my competition career to everything that I do, even Point MMA, even the new book that I got coming out, all that stuff was written when I was in prison. You know, so the greatest thing that ever happened to me was to be incarcerated, because it made me really learn how to become one with me. And I know it sounds crazy. I was in a max security prison and never got in one fight. So when people talk about fighting and combat and all that stuff, you know, I never had to get in one combative situation, and people did know I was doing martial arts. So that's what I try to teach. Everything that I do, I try to teach the art, you know, just how to take it, you know, take the tragedies and flip them and use them as stepping stones to become a better person so you can change the next generation. And if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Right. And, you know, that's how God does it most of the time. He takes you to rock bottom to test your faith, to let you see that you have to put your faith and confidence in Him. And that's what I do on a daily basis. And I tell everybody's always going, what does PVT stand for on your name? It's prayers, vitamins, and training. It also is a double acronym for Paul's Valley 2.0. But the reason was prayers, vitamins, and training, because that's what you need if you want to succeed. Is you got to get your prayers in, take your vitamins, and you got to get that training in. And if you put God in ahead and put Him first, then He's going to lay everything else out for you to let you accomplish those goals. And that's a great testimony that you have, and I'm sure it's helped a lot of people, probably more people than you know, make a huge change in their life. And hopefully even somebody on this radio show may have heard it tonight that we're going through things that may help them to come out, you know, and help them out of a dark place. Because like you say, once you realize who you are, and God has a funny way of humbling us down and letting us see that we need Him, and without Him, we're not much. But through Him, all things are possible. I'm glad I'm not glad you had that experience, but I'm glad you had that experience because it made you who you are, and it gave to the martial arts world the person you are. And you know, and that's a, like I say, that's a great testimony.
Well, I think the one thing that, you know, Before I got locked up, I used to always say I teach discipline, confidence. I said I taught things, but I didn't understand what I was really teaching. Today, I know what principles that we're teaching people, because when you can arm people with principles, it's kind of like what Bruce Lee said, if I can arm you with principles that can allow you to live beyond me and stand on your own two feet. Osa Cassell always used to tell me, he would say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, when I got locked up, the teacher did appear. Before then, I thought it was a physical person that was going to come. I didn't realize that it was going to be a spiritual message, where everything that I had learned up to that point was valuable, just that I didn't work it. Like right now, you look at students, and I know you probably experience this when you teach, you just keep on asking. It's like, man, I'm giving you everything that you need, but if you don't put forth the effort, if you don't put forth 110%, you're not going to change. This is never going to work until you make a commitment to change. And, you know, that's the one thing I did. That was that spiritual teacher. I had to go inside and take all the tools that Master Brown, Osa Cassell, and every instructor and every person, you know, that was in my life had planted inside of me. And most importantly, I had a guy, and I can't forget his name. His name was Brother D. And he was the man that showed me how to be a man, and he gave me one mission. He said, when you leave this jail, it's your duty to go out there and teach every kid how not to make the same mistakes that you made, and most importantly, go take care of your kids. So when I came home from jail, my commitment was $20. Everything that I do now started with $20 in a dream. And when I came home, thanks to Master Brown, I was able to go and get my son and raise my son and meet my wife, Kimberly Johnson, who's many of y'all know, she's a world champion, one of Paulo Lanza's top students. And without her and my kids, Zarian, Messiah, Naila, you know, who works, you know, in Hollywood. And without those people believing in me, I would not be able to be the person I am right now and be blessed with the family that I have right now. My son, Marco Johnson, was on a TV show with me and competes. You know, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better life. And that's all by the grace of God and the people like Master Brown, Osa Cassell, you know, and many other people out there. Nick Coquinas, I mean, Billy Blanks, Nasty Anderson, Linda Denley, George Chung. I mean, all those people impacted me and helped me So I didn't do this alone. John Chung, I mean, Helen Chung, Sonny Onowa. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. And my man Jerry Fontanez and Kevin Thompson and Richie Brandon, Larry Lamb. I mean, I could just give a shout out to everybody that impacted me on some measure in my life, man.
Right. That's awesome. And you named off some heavy hitters there, some great martial artists, legends, pioneers that helped make this sport what it is today. And you know, bam, you're one of those people. You know, that's a great thing, you know, the accomplishments that you have and the things that you've done and the things that you overcame in your life to show people what a positive impact martial arts has on people, you know. And that's like I say, that's what martial arts is all about, and that's why we have the radio show, that's why we have the Sport Karate Museum, and that's why we have the book. So, you know, we can get people out there and get people going, and people need to know that, you know, that you wrote a book, you have a book out that people can buy. You do some motivational speeches and stuff too, don't you?
Yeah, I was on the thanks to Champ Nichols, Damon John's speaking manager. He put me on a mission to begin public speaking. So I was going on tour at one time with Damon John and some other people. And still to this day, Champ Nichols coaches me and give me some guidance. So just once again, take your testimony and take it out to the people, man. You know, martial arts can be much bigger if we go to the people. We can't sit back in our dojo and let the people come to us. We got to. You know, I say this one thing, man, and I'm forever grateful for Master Brown and Oster Cassell. It takes a strong instructor to come through the ghetto and knowing you out there selling drugs with guns and some of the most dangerous people to walk through a thousand some people sitting out there trying to buy drugs from you and with a jacket to walk through and just give you a jacket and say, hey, Bam, I just wanted you to know that you are now a shifu. And you are now number one in the Mid-Atlantic region, and then walk away. Oh, man, that is moments like that, that when times got so hard, that teachers like that gave me that extra push to keep on doing what I'm doing right now. And I don't do it for me. I just do it because so many people pass it. And they did some, I mean, Oster Cassell, I mean, for an instructor to be able to say, look, I'm going to take these keys from you from your in this dojo. You might think this is yours, but it's not yours because you're not mature enough to have this. So I'm going to take it away from you until you get mature enough to understand the power that you have with martial arts. And those are the lessons that, you know, I hold so dear in my heart for my teachers, man. It was beyond a kick or a punch, you know?
Right. And that's what a lot of people don't realize is that martial arts is a lot more than just kicking and punching. And that's what people have to realize. But you've been doing it for a long time. You had your TV career and stuff like that. But you've got a new venture now that you're getting into and that you're doing and we've talked about. And that's another reason I wanted to bring you on the show is so you could talk about this new thing that you're doing so that we maybe can get some more, you know, people interested in it and get it going. Can you tell the people at home a little bit about what you've got coming up?
Well, you're talking about our Point MMA Crazy Athletics, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, Point MMA, Point MMA, we call it Crazy Athletics just so people can understand the fitness component. But really, Point MMA is what we always did back in the day. I mean, and many people say mixed martial arts is new, but if you came up in the 70s and stuff doing martial arts in them inner cities, man, you had to mix everything together. And, you know, and you had to spar hard.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was allowed. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, and I try to tell people that. Everybody thinks, you know, you hear people that are in MMA that maybe, you know, some people call it UFC fighting, but that's not what it is. But it's in MMA, and I tell them, I'm like, they like, well, MMA give birth to karate. I say, no, martial arts gave birth to MMA because we were already mixing stuff. And what most people don't realize, and this is why I make a lot of people mad, but, you know, I'm the Wolverine, so, you know, I don't really care. You just got to say it like it is. Most people that fight in the UFC are not mixed martial artists. They're cage fighters. They do a little jiu-jitsu, a little kickboxing, some stuff. a mixed martial artist is someone like yourself, these other that have studied styles and learned these things and have a collective style of martial arts and put it together, not just a little of this and a little of that, but been mixing stuff and made something that can be utilized.
Yeah, and
I
think you got to give that credit when it comes to Kung Fu to Ocean Taiyaki itself, because he was fighting in Madison Square Garden, Iron Banks, Oriental World of Self-Defense, Karate versus Kung Fu, jumping up, doing scissor takedowns, fighting the best. He was the only Kung Fu guy that was out there doing it and was proving it. I mean, anybody know Ocean? I mean, if it was not for him, people would not be respecting the Kung Fu like they respected James Cook and all those people, you know, that was doing what they're doing, you know. And for me, just to be able to come up and, you know, just experience that, to be a part of that. So I always sparred. Kata was the thing that I never really did. So even though I'm a Kata champion, all we did in the inner city was fight. That's all everybody fought. You know, that's all we did was fight. So Kata was kind of like a test for me. It was like to really grow as a technician, a martial artist, because being so aggressive, I wanted to be able to find something that complemented my acrobats and all that stuff. So Kata was like the thing that I really forced myself to learn, katas and weapons. But, you know, I didn't see, you know, people come in the dojo, you got to fight them. They drunk and drugged up, and you got to prove that what you're doing, it works. And then, you know, even being with Master Brown, how people would come and challenge the Kung Fu school, and we would always go out and be fighting people, and because nobody thought Kung Fu people could fight. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. It's so funny. We were sweeping and doing all that, and we just didn't have a place to go to. So I always trained and everything. So when I seen MMA, you know, the UFC coming about, I fell in love with it. You know, so as I began to learn more with Lloyd Irvin and so many other people, Danny Asanto, because I'm just like a deep Michael DiBasquale, can't forget all those guys that I learned. And thanks to Jerry Beasley, the Gracies, and, you know, just a whole list of people that I had a chance to work out with and do things with. When we decided to put on our own tournament, anybody knows I always believe that we can put style against style. And when we first put in our first tournament, I think it was in 1992, Lloyd Irvin's guy won the championship, believe it or not, Master Brown, and everybody was there. It was historical. It was the birth of Point MMA. And after going to the classes a couple of times, I found myself constantly getting stuck with judging jiu-jitsu because I was doing competition in jiu-jitsu and everything. One day I told my wife, I said, man, I ain't trying to do no jiu-jitsu. Let me just combine all this and figure out what we can do to bring back what we did. And that's how Point MMA came about. Master Brown and everybody seen it. They said it was the wave of the future. And the other thing about Point MMA, too, remember, most schools, when we teach people how to fight, we tell them to bow, and then we say fight. We have never had a structured curriculum that actually teaches people the basic mechanics from intro to black belt on how to spar. That's what we did. Because at the same time, from a business component, you got to remember, most people was trying to eliminate sparring just so they can keep contracts. So, I mean, I hate to go there and put people out on blast like that. Our whole martial arts industry was going, you got to eliminate sparring. People going quit. You're not going to make no money. Me and my wife refused to go down that road. We continue to spar hard. We continue to find a way to add a structured curriculum that wasn't abusive, but it was an opportunity for kids to grow and adults to grow in a wholesome manner. And that's how Point MMA came about. We got it trademarked. We did a whole curriculum, talked to anybody you could possibly talk to. And the first thing I did before we even went to the tournament was go to Shark Tank and made it to the second round of Shark Tank as it being a worthy investment that was a spinoff to any other business programs like Sweat Equity and everything. And once I did that, man, I realized that we had gave birth to something that was created in the hood based upon what helped me become who I am, to blossom, to become a new evolution of, you know, sports martial arts. And we then just put together a partnership with the International MMA League, where their main focus is to make MMA Olympic sport. And I got to give credit back to Arlie Lemus and Duke Rufus, because many people have egos and many people try to block your shine, but Arlie Lemus and Duke Rufus hooked me up with the International MMA League. And now what we're getting ready to do with Point MMA, a sanctioning body that controls youth MMA competition in the country, and make sure any coach or any athlete or any parent is background checked by the FBI, all this stuff, so we can make it legit and legalized and safe for the future of the sport and affordable for any kid from any economical background. That's historical. So that's what we've been working on in the lab since we've been out doing stuff with people. And we're getting ready to launch everything. We got a tournament coming next month, but we're getting ready to do a massive launch. And as a matter of fact, the United States youth MMA team went to Rome just this past August, and they brought back 18 gold medals. So we're talking about a real world championship. We're talking about all over the world. So this is
right.
It, man. What you think? I mean, huh?
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I mean, you know, my guys, I've always made our people on our belt rank exams. They do the old school sparring like Grandmaster Lewis would have them do. They would do the kickboxing rounds. They would do point fighting rounds. They would do the jiu-jitsu rounds. But then I would make them do MMA rounds. And, you know, Dan Severn will verify this. Our cage, our octagon cage, I built that cage in 1990. It's set in Mount Airy. It's the shape of our crest. It's on our uniform, the octagon, which stands for open on all eight sides. And that was our symbol for the Chundaquan, Taekwondo, and different things. So I built a cage in that pattern. Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and all them used to come down from Winston Salem, because they would be down there doing their WWF wrestling matches and stuff. And them and the Fulton brothers would come to Mount Airy because they would hear about this cage and this crazy fighting we was doing, and they thought we was insane. The other karate schools in town would tell everybody that I was a testosterone junkie and a maniac. And I had other Taekwondo schools saying, "Do you hear that guy? He was teaching in class to kick people with his shin bone, not the top of your foot. That guy don't know what he's talking about." But they didn't realize what it was. And I even had one of the guys that my mother was a school teacher, and one of the other karate teachers in town, his wife was also a school teacher. She worked with my mother, and she told her that her husband said that her son was crazy because he kept mixing all these styles of martial arts. I should just stick to one thing because I was never going to go anywhere doing MMA. So I love the fact that you're bringing out sport MMA, because it does give the kids a chance to get in and start learning about MMA and learning that, hey, you're going to be throwing punches, but somebody may try to take you down and try to work you on the ground. So now you have opportunity to train the young people to do that. So it's really going to, you know, in my opinion, what you've got going on is really going to increase the talent pool of the MMA fighters in the future. Because, you know, right now there's a lot of people out there, they just do, you know, they may do stand up or they may do ground fighting, and then they try to get into MMA, and then, you know, if they've been a ground fighter, they'll try to add some striking. If they've been a striker, they'll try to add some grappling and try to, you know, make it into the UFC or whatever, Bellator or ONE or whatever. But, you know, the thing of it is, if you grow up and you're able to compete in sport MMA, you've already got a working knowledge of it your whole career. So now you know way more about ring control, striking, closing the distance, getting that clinch, executing your takedowns, getting your ground position. So I think it's going to, you know, I'm excited about what you got going on. And, you know, we've had a couple of people compete in it and win at your tournament. So we're, you know, I think what you got going on is exciting. I hope to see more people jump on board, because I think it's going to be a great, great thing and going to help out a lot of people.
So let me correct something, because remember, there's a sports MMA. We do point MMA. So remember,
there's sport MMA, moment. But okay.
Right.
Yeah, I said,
so
but yeah, point MMA,
MMA.
Yeah.
And
you're right, but your point MMA is good, yeah.
Right, and the beautiful thing about it, I think the seal of approval was last year this time, Black Belt Magazine, you know, once again, a dream come true. Black Belt Magazine put us on the cover. And as the cover reads, Point MMA, can it bring more kids into the martial arts and keep them safe? Well, that's what it is. And the other component, too, is that many people do their MMA, but we just structured a curriculum where the curriculum is really geared towards school ownership, is geared towards community engagement. It's a real curriculum like basketball and baseball. And I got to give credit to Billy Blank, who sat there and tolerated me and talked me through it. And even the lady, Carlin West from WMAC Masters, she gave me a lot of feedback on how we can restructure it, gear it towards kids. Warren Hutland of the House Party movies and all that stuff. I done had some real people on board. It's funny because as we were talking, a movie producer in California was just calling while me and you were talking. Because we got so many people on this thing, and the new version of Point MMA that is so perfect, it's called Kids Point MMA, which is for kids by kids. So it takes my two little boys who are now relating to kids in a manner that kids can understand, and it's almost like film where it's like forget the teachers, forget the parents, let's go in and let's relate and let's try to do MMA in a manner that we love it and we like it. So we can combat the obesity. We can help our kids really be able to be prepared for the future. And, you know, and also remember the history, because you had mentioned Joe Lewis, and I'm sorry for not mentioning that, but even before Master Joe had passed, I mean, I got so much, like, support from Joe Lewis, you know, Chuck Lewis, Nasty Anderson, and, you know, Bill Superfoot Wallace, Alan Goldberg. I mean, man, I could just sit here in this whole interview and just talk about all those people that have supported what we're doing. And even Keith Vitale and Super Dan passed the torch and said, man, this Point MMA is what we were doing back then, because they were doing this back then. I didn't see Nasty to pick up some people and body slam them at the Diamond Nationals and Keith Vitale sweeping people. So, you know, I'm not doing anything new. I think I'm just adding structure to the chaos, so the sport can go on and build another generation of wholesome martial artists, not brutes and brawlers, because kids shouldn't be getting hit in the head and destroyed and can't function as they get older. That's what our goal is.
Right, right. We don't need a lot of people talking like the Wolverine. No, actually, it's just a Southern accent. It's not. A lot of people think it's just because Joe Lewis kept using me as a focus mitt, but that's actually just a Southern accent. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You're putting you're putting the method to the madness, and I really wish you well in that venture, because I think it's going to be something that's going to be great, and it's, like you say, it's going to help the kids, and like you say, it keeps them learning, and they don't have to worry about getting brain damage and that kind of thing, but they're still learning the fundamentals and all that kind of thing. And yeah, it's something that we all used to do, but you give it a new face, and it makes it exciting for the kids. It makes it exciting for people, and I think it'll add to people's martial arts curriculum, and all kinds of things. So there's a lot of good benefits out of it.
Yeah, and they learn the business. I mean, we now working with all of our cities. Baltimore gave us a proclamation. The city of Law giving us a proclamation. They get ready to do a major launch, because our goal, once again, is to make it affordable and accessible. It is a sport. We got it where, come on, you don't have to be a expert to learn how to the basics of basketball and baseball. Until we learn how to go where the people are at with martial arts is going to always be stuck where it's at. We're trying to take it and go to the people. It don't matter where they at, where they come from. I mean, come on, I got started without a teacher. So a lot of people can get started as a teacher. And once they're ready to come to structure, they can come to structure. So, I mean, we make it, we're not trying to say Point MMA is the best thing that you can do. But it's, to me, it's a simple and easier way to tap into your community, bring about profitable change, empower your community. And when the people are ready to come and go to the next level, when they come to our school, I got to protect our traditional kung fu. I'm not just going to give it away and water it down and destroy it. So even though I do point MMA, when you're ready to get, take it to another level and go to the encyclopedia knowledge, then you can get to Kung Fu. But until then, you can still play around with other stuff. So the traditional arts
right.
still have value. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it makes 100% sense. Yeah, I'm tracking with you, man. I'm all on board. You know, like I say, I hope a lot of people jump on there and do it. Like I say, I talked to you before about it. We were at Mr. Goldberg's event, and, you know, we had some people get in there and do that. Actually, she's my stepdaughter, but I call her my real daughter. I'll say that on the air just because I know she's not listening. But actually, she won the girls division there at your event.
Yeah, you had some good guys.
Yeah, and it's a great thing. It's fun. It's a great thing, and you know I think that it's you know I think I really hope it catches on. You know, and I think it will. I think it will big time.
One of the things I want to say, the new model with Point MMA with the International MMA League, we have an A-level competition where you can come in, and you can do submissions, you can do leg kicks, you can do all the stuff that's allowed in the UFC ring, but you just can't make head contact and it can't be excessive contact. So that's A level. And then the B level competition,
right.
you can grapple, you can submit, you can do all that stuff. And then the C level is Point MMA, where it's all the stuff that everybody does. So you got three tiers of competition that people can come in. The International MMA League is the sanctioning body once again. You got to be a sanctioned referee. It's not a promoter. The promoters can't ref and can't judge, and the judges can't be promoted. So it's a real league that really promotes real world champions. So the next event that we have, which is Terry Motley's event that's coming up, that's the beginning. Then we got our event that's coming up in November, the first weekend of November, 2nd and 3rd. And what these events are now are like qualifiers, and then we push to have the Nationals at Allen Goldberg's event, and if you come out and support, you can make the World Championship team and go to Rome or Italy and compete and represent the World Championship and be a part of the cutting edge of this possibly becoming an Olympic sport. And once again, my hat is off to Duke Rufus and Arlene Lemus, because they were the ones that connected us together. And now it's all about bringing about a real positive, powerful structure for youth MMA sports. And not just in the United States, but around the world, because every international league company, every country is on board to support what we're doing. So this is major. This is beyond our wildest dreams, man. You know, this is not even about a made-up world championship. These are real world champions.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're doing great. So before you go, give the people at home a way to get in touch with you so they can get more info on the Sport MMA or the Point MMA and how they can become, you know, how they can become involved in that type of thing.
Okay, well, you can go to pointmma.org, which is a new online university where you can train, become a community ambassador with Point MMA as a coach. You know, the kids can get on and buy the Point MMA 37 skill set. And you can also log on to pointmma.com. They all linked up together. They'll keep you informed with the next events. I know our next big event is coming up at the end of September, and it's a fundraiser that we're doing in honor of the great, the wonderful Mr. Blitz King himself, Steve Nasty Anderson, because he's really sick. So what we're doing is we're going to be doing a Point MMA weekend. It's a boot camp where you can come down and get certified. It's $99. $60 of that money goes towards the Steve Nasty Anderson's fund to really help with his sickness right now. And if anybody knows who Steve Anderson is, if it wasn't for him, some of the stuff we're doing right now we wouldn't be doing. So I wish everybody put out their prayers, come out and support. We're going to be doing a spa-a-thon. So I called out any champion, Hakeem, you know, anybody that want to come down and spar around with all comers, you know, it's all check your ego at the door. Let's have a good time. Let's remember a legend. He's still here, but let's do what we can do to support the sickness that he's going through. And Kevin Thompson, that's probably the biggest one that we're doing. So everybody's welcome to come out. You'll get a free Point MMA certification. a whole host of other things that's going on. And then you can also go up to the banquet on Sunday in New Jersey and be a part of just seeing Nasty, taking pictures with him, and just, you know, just being a part of the, you know, that's what we do, man. We got to pass the torch. We got to remember everybody. So PointMade.org, PointMade.com, and don't forget also the new book that's coming out historically by YMMA Publishing, the biggest Chinese publishing company. They're releasing our book called The Complete Martial Artist, that's truly connecting to the philosophy and concepts of what we do, the method to our madness, to just empower the next generation. You can find it in any bookstore. It's going national, as an international release. I'm coming out on September the 7th at every bookstore from here to Hong Kong.
Man, that sounds great. I hope you get a lot of people contact you over it. I know that I'm going to get back in touch with you. And, you know, we've already talked before about getting some things done. So, you know, we're on board about pushing it. I look forward to seeing how well the sport grows and that kind of thing. It's an awesome, awesome thing you've put together. And, sir, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been an honor to have you on here. Really glad to have you. You know, you shared a lot of great information, and I really like the fact that, you know, you let people know that God has helped you to get to where you are, and just all the amazing things that you're doing, sir. I really appreciate it. You're an amazing individual, and I'm glad to know you. You there, sir? Okay, Mr. Bam must have got cut off. But listen, that was our show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to do is, you got a lot of good information on the sport MMA. So you have that. And like I want to say again, real quick, I want to go and reiterate on how you can get in touch with Professor Gary Lee to get your information for the Sport Karate banquet tickets, and make sure you get those tickets, because that is an event you do not want to miss. Again, the number for that is area code 713-483-0476. You can talk to Professor Gary Lee or Tammy. They'll get you the tickets for that, and you can do one of the shows. You can do the Living Legends Roast to Professor Gary Lee and or Mr. Natividad, or you can do both of them. And at that time, talk with Professor Gary Lee and get the information to go and become a to get your information for the Ohana Open. Sorry, I didn't mean to get tongue-tied. It's been a long day. For the Ohana Open, and do that. But I'll give you that number again also. You can contact Ms. Pagels. That is area code 218-221-2145. And you can talk to Ms. Pagels. And that way you can get that going and get your tickets for that, get your tickets for the Ohana Open, get your tickets for the Kata Wars and the Banquets, the Living Legends Roast of Professor Gary Lee, the Living Legends Roast of Mr. Natividad. It's going to be a great time. And now you have information on the sport, or Point MMA. I'm sorry I keep saying sport. It's from sport karate and things of that nature. But it is Point MMA. So that is a good thing. Look up Mr. Bam Johnson's website and get that going and get to be a part of that. We just want to thank each and every one of you for letting us come into your home again tonight. We hope God blesses each and every one of you, and continue to keep Professor Gary Lee in your prayers. He is doing better, so we want to continue to keep Professor Gary Lee in your prayers and keep him moving forward in the progress with that. God bless each and every one of you, and as always, stay strong, keep your kicks up. Us.